lives in a pineapple under the sea. A dolphin in yellow, of course, is he. If nautical nonsense is something you wish, then drop on the deck and flop like a fish. Ready? SpongeBob.
Welcome back to the SpongeBob Chronicles, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast. I'm your host, Ronnie
Chad.
And today we are here to cover Season 1, Episode 9, Nature Pants / Opposite Day. Chad, what did you think of this week?
A very fun week. Very, very fun week. It was another one of those weeks where I believe you said last week, oh, maybe it's a little bit going to be a little bit weaker than the normal ones. But Nature Pants, shockingly, was better than I remembered.
Really?
Yeah.
I was a little down on Nature Pants. I won't lie. It's not a fun episode.
I would say, yeah, I mean, Opposite Day is a very fun episode.
Very fun episode, Opposite Day.
Nature Pants is a little bit different of a vibe.
Nature Pants easily in my bottom three. Not that it's got, considering it's a kid's show and I ran away from home, quote unquote, like seven different times where it usually just meant down the street or even something as simple as hiding. Right outside my basement door.
Yep.
I think Nature Pants can send a good message if you really let it sink in. And the humor that I found in Nature Pants was watching it for the first time in many years and just laughing at basically what happened in that day.
That might be what I was talking about too, right, when I talked, because it's something. It was a completely new perspective. Yeah. Opposite Day, I had the same perspective I had when I was a kid.
Opposite Day was like riding a bike. I got into Opposite Day and went, oh yeah, this is all, for whatever reason, felt like I seen that one 800 times. Nature Pants, I feel like I've only seen it 200 times. I saw it plenty of times because the buzz. I could tell you when he was getting ready to buzz.
Yeah.
let's 100%. Hop into it.
Let's
and
do it.
We'll talk more about it. Back of the Krusty Krab, in the back. I love being in the back of the Krusty Krab. It's just a good fit. It's the only fast food kitchen that I would want to spend a large
amount
of time
8 hours a day
in.
With?
Well, it's very simplistic in its design. It's like all the guy needs is, you know, a little setup table, a little construction table for the patties, and then the grill. And I feel like that's all he's got. Maybe a little fryer for the fries. And he's kind of daydreaming because a patty starts floating off the grill. It pops, and then now it's a jellyfish, and they're just swarming out the window.
And I love seeing that SpongeBob, as much as he loves to work for the Krusty Krab, still gets that feeling that I'm sure 99.99999999% of people have gotten, where they're at their job and they just go, holy smokes, I could be outside not doing this right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the slow period, so he's just daydreaming.
Right.
And that's exactly what he does, because he turns himself into a yelly jellyfish, and he's just frolicking in jellyfish fields, and the patties are burning. Now, he's got a hood vent. I guess he doesn't have it turned on, because the smoke is somehow magically making its way through the Squidward window, and Mr. Krabs is mad because he's burning money.
Yeah, the hood vent doesn't do anything. That's
it floats right by the hood vent.
he throws the fire extinguisher at it.
Yeah, he's so good. He's burning. You know, I imagine Mr. Krabs buys ground beef in bulk for having a burger place. And considering this was 1999, SpongeBob might be burning $6 right now.
He might. It's also interesting. I know they're underwater, but it's just funny that there's a fire extinguisher there and they're underwater. Plus, he doesn't know how to use the fire extinguisher because he's never dealt with a fire underwater before.
Yeah, he runs. Well, what's even more ludicrous is he runs on the ceiling to hide behind Mr. Krabs, and Mr. Krabs grabs the fire extinguisher and then hands it to SpongeBob, which has got to be, I got to say this, one of the bigger bitch moves I've ever seen.
Yeah, if you're a man and you pick up a fire extinguisher to put out a fire, but then you just hand it to the person next to you.
You hand it to another man?
Yeah.
That's crazy. He says, here, use this. Like you said, SpongeBob throws the entire fire extinguisher. Now, it subverted my expectations, because like I said, the second that you start watching these episodes, I'm sure you do the same thing I do. In my head, I don't do it out loud because I'm not a crazy person. I start saying what happens before it happens.
Oh, I do it out loud.
Crazy person. So he threw the fire extinguisher, and in my head I went, fire extinguisher explodes, because I thought it was one of those things that unnecessarily explodes. Doesn't actually explode.
Just causes the fire to get bigger.
The grill just really ignites, and the fire starts. So then, honestly, probably my favorite part of the episode, a fireman who somehow has the greatest response time. This guy was eating inside the Krusty Krab with the hose.
Yeah, with the hose. He brings it just in case.
Everywhere just in case. And not only that, just so you know that just so he knows that you know he's there, he came in with a woo woo.
You know what's odd? That would be such a good, like, the movie Airplane. You know how just extremely stupid that movie is? Have you ever seen it?
I've never seen that film.
Okay.
It's a film, though.
I just called it a movie. It is a film. Pardon my French for saying that. It is so absurdly stupid, some of the stuff they do in that film, that I feel like this could be a part of the film.
Okay.
Where they're eating in a dining establishment, but there's a fireman that comes in there, and he brings his hose at the dining table just in case.
You never know.
That would be something that would be in the... Yeah.
So the fireman absolutely unloads into SpongeBob, and since he's a sponge, soaks it all up.
Whoa.
He does.
Pause.
Okay.
Little sus. You just said that he unloads all into SpongeBob. Take it easy there.
But I'm right.
You are right. I mean, yeah, but...
I have not said anything that did not happen.
Okay.
This fireman absolutely hoses down SpongeBob to where he swells up pretty big and then falls onto the grill and then becomes like a mini SpongeBob, which I always liked. He becomes like a little miniature SpongeBob that Mr. Krabs spatulas off and kind of flips him into the office.
Such a pleasing aesthetic moment, ASMR. As a kid, I never flipped patties, so I would not understand the feeling of flipping something. Okay. But when you see Mr. Krabs do that and hear it, you're like, oh, I can feel that. Like, I do that myself now.
Yeah. Now, this sounds a little ridiculous, but... One of my favorite things I've ever done at a job. Now, keep in mind, I wouldn't want to do this for 8 hours, but I used to really be proud of my craft, was making Texas toast on the flat top at Zaxby's.
I mean, that sounds pleasing.
It really does. You get to work the flat top for about 30 minutes at a time, and you just really get to own the flat top. It's a lot of fun, man. You buttering up the bread. You do it. You hit a couple flips. Yeah, I mean, because the spatula is one of those classic spatulas that's long, so you got a little playing room with that bad boy. You do a couple front flips, back flips, catch it on the spatula. You feel like you're really doing something.
It's pleasing. It really is.
Everyone should work at Zaxby's or any kind of place that makes Texas toast for one day so they can do that. I really recommend it. SpongeBob is in Mr. Krabs' office. He's getting his butt chewed out. You know, we need to get SpongeBob thinking about working. And mm-hmm. He says that because SpongeBob makes the crucial mistake of saying, I've been thinking.
Yep.
Not in the Krusty Krab. You better start thinking about work. And, SpongeBob goes on to be like, no offense, but I've just been thinking about giving up my industrial life, you know, slaving away in the kitchen and going to live among the jellyfish. And Mr. Krabs, he can't even take it seriously.
Okay. Here's the thing about SpongeBob. Everyone's had this inner thought of being like, you know what? I'm tired of the modern life. I just want to get out, get going. But no one has been like, I'm tired of this modern life. I want to just go live amongst the birds.
Right. Which is essentially what he's like saying.
Yeah, that's basically what he's saying.
Which I understand that they don't have, like they're already fish living in Bikini Bottom for the most part. But you just can't, especially the way he does it. It's not a good idea.
No.
He even took it a step past being like a tree hugger and like living off the land. He's just literally going to be a jellyfish.
Yeah.
It's like if you went and climbed up in a tree and tried to just bed down in a bird's nest. It doesn't work that way. So Mr. Krabs takes him on a tour and says, you know, you wouldn't last one day in the wild. This is your natural habitat. Just looking over this beautiful kitchen. This is very natural. You know, your wide open range with the grill. Your amber wave. What is an amber wave?
I don't know.
That's not a thing. I guess he's saying, like, he's talking about actual waves.
Yeah, he's trying to, like, relate it to nature.
But there's French fry oil boiling. Just absolutely digging deep into SpongeBob's pores. He's like, these are your waves. Hover above this stuff. And this, I mean, his golden scepter for which you rule, the old spatula.
And he just pulls it out of the dirty sink, too. That's what's right. So awesome.
And SpongeBob, he's not hearing any of it. I mean, this is actually pretty crazy. He's essentially quitting the Krusty Krab.
Dude, as much as he is a Krusty Krab advocate, he is done.
Throws down the hat, which, like, to see that, it kind of hurts you.
Like, it does, because that's just not his character, man. It really
isn't.
No,
not at all. And then Mr. Krabs then realizes he took the wrong approach. He's like, wait. His eyes do a curly fry rigmarole when he sees the hat on the ground, because that is blasphemy. It is such an honor to get one of those Krusty Krab hats that not even Mr. Krabs wears. There's a total of two of them.
That is so true.
They have two Krusty Krab hats.
Not even Mr. Krabs wears it. But.
And he is so insulted to see this thing on the ground. But he's also like, God, he makes me so much money. He'll be back. I just know it. He will. So fast forward to what the timing in this episode is what I believe to be the most important. Okay. So let's all keep that in mind. SpongeBob goes to work. I'm imagining it was slow at the KK.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that it was like past noon. The lunch rush is already over.
Yeah, it's got to be about 2 or 3 o'clock.
Just kind of slowing down. All right, and because now Squidward's off of work. You know what I mean? He's not at the Krusty Krab. Right. So maybe, you know, they just went in for the lunch rush, and it, like 2 p.m. feels right.
Yeah, but where does Mr. Krabs, like, does he just run it himself whenever they're not there?
Yeah, or, you know, it might be a situation where, I never thought about it, because you would think that Mr. Krabs just wants to stay open all the time, which we will see. I can't wait to get to that episode. Maybe they're doing a thing right now where they close down after a little bit after lunch, open back up for dinner, which to have two employees would be so frustrating. Just going home and then coming back.
See, I like to think dinner, like getting close to dinner time, Mr. Krabs is just running it himself.
I think that's the thing that we never see that we have to come to understand. Mr. Krabs, he does work there sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we know he was there before SpongeBob, and I do think that sometimes Squidward leaves, Mr. Krabs runs the register. We've seen him take an order. He took the pizza order.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his way around the restaurant. So SpongeBob is saying his goodbyes. He's gathered Patrick and Squidward. Anytime you see Squidward in a thing like this, I'm just amazed that he's even giving it the time of day. But maybe he thinks it sticks, so he gets a can opener.
I mean, where does this...
SpongeBob's entire house is behind him. Keep this in mind. These are the things that he's like, I've got to give this stuff to someone. He gives Patrick a jar of mayonnaise.
That is such a good gift, because we know Patrick loves mayonnaise. He's mentioned mayonnaise throughout this show so many times, I feel like.
Old phone books also.
Okay.
SpongeBob's like, better make sure someone has these guys. And Patrick can't believe that he's been entrusted with these items, but just wait. We then see Old Reliable. Now, help me out here. Do we see Old Reliable be mentioned as Old Reliable again?
Maybe.
Because I don't know about you, but I have vivid memories of like being in school, and if I had a pencil for 2 days, I'd go around and tell my friends, like, oh, this is Old Reliable.
I feel like, yes, we do see it, because he actually uses it to catch fishes.
Right. I just felt like Old Reliable had a bigger part to play than just this initial switch off. that we see here.
I can't vividly remember. Is it when he, who was the guy that he catches like the biggest jellyfish?
Yeah, Kevin the sea cucumber.
Kevin. Yeah, it might be in that episode.
Did you ever call anything all reliable?
Or did my you... car sometimes.
Okay. Well, okay.
Because it was a 1995 Honda Accord, and it wasn't the most reliable.
I just know in school, I would have, like, me and my friends would call things because of SpongeBob, so I didn't know if maybe you did that, and I thought it, like I said.
Not really.
Okay, that's all right. I was always a bigger fan than you, so that's fine.
No, I just did other, like, funny things.
Well,
like,
no, I mean, it's just...
I would always, like, give jars of mayonnaise to people.
It's literally a jellyfishing rod that, or jellyfishing net that has its own personalized case that glows gold when you open it, so... I mean, Patrick throws the phone books because he can't believe he's being entrusted with this.
And then Sandy just walks up out of nowhere.
Sandy walks up out of nowhere. She's... I gotta be honest. Sandy has a different vibe these past two episodes than I remember her usually having.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember her being pretty much tickled pink with SpongeBob and Patrick's shenanigans, like she was earlier in the seasons. But even in this one, she's just kind of like... What, you're going to live with the jelly? What are you doing, dude? So SpongeBob talks down to Sandy, being like, oh, Sandy, you foolish creature. I would expect that
you
response.
You and your little doom.
I would expect that response from you who lives the sham of a life I once lived. He just gave away his mayonnaise.
He gave away mayonnaise, his old phone books, and a can opener.
He's
like,
standing in his front yard.
And the way he walks off.
He strolls off saying, maybe someday you'll wise up and join me. He's leaving his pet snail. Gary's just chilling. What is Gary going to do? I guess Gary lives in that pineapple all by himself now, just taking care of it.
Takes his pants off.
Yep, gets behind a shell, strips into the nude, says, I won't be needing these, and just runs off buzzing.
What is Squidward's line right here?
Squidward just says, he took off his pants. Sandy says, and this is, I thought Sandy was smart. This is the stupidest thing she's ever said. She says, I'll give him a week.
Yeah, that was
a week.
Way too long.
He's got nothing. He just took off his pants. He's literally naked running towards a field, and you're giving him a week?
He didn't even bring his mayonnaise with him.
That is the worst guess ever. Squidward gives him 11 minutes, which might be...
the rest of the episode.
Yeah, basically. Patrick just yells, Patrick's sad. He's talking to himself in the third person. His emotions
actually, that's hilarious. I think it is the rest of the episode. Actually, no, it's not. I just did the math.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That would
saying,
be funny if they'd, like, the show creator just said
they
the
really
rest
timed
of
it up. So, okay, now keep the. Here we go. Next part. Well, this is actually. It might be a little fooling going on here because he gets to the fields. It's got this, like, golden glow, almost like it is sunset. I think they're trying to do this thing of just, like, jellyfish fields is his paradise.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that it's sunset yet. And he's just screaming, he's, I'm home, I'm home. And the jellyfish are swarming, and he's just like, he's ready to get going. He's ready to join the crew.
So dumb.
He says, I gotta go that way, as he starts eating grass. And these guys, they're not accepting him into their...
Dude, I mean, how stupid would that be if I just went to your, like, bonfire field, your backyard, and was like, Ronnie, like, I'm home. And I just took off my pants and started climbing trees with the squirrels.
Yeah. Or you walked up to deer and just assumed that they were going to be like, what's up, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I see that you're naked. Clearly, you're coming to...
And then I'm upset when they don't accept me because I'm, like, already, like, identifying as a deer.
Mm-hmm.
He's so dumb.
And within the first 5 minutes, he's like, all right, well... Jellyfish has got to eat, so he tries to eat some like seaweed or like sea kelp, something along those lines, and immediately spits it out, realizes it's gross. You think he would have taste tested that stuff before he thinks he can live that lifestyle, and he hits him with a, this is the life.
This is the life.
He's getting acquainted with everyone. He's saying, buzz, buzz, night current today. And he goes, hey, what's the buzz? Which is my favorite one. That one worked
well. That's a good one.
Introduces himself as Jelly Bob, and he tries to shake hands with the jellyfish. Gets stung. How about that? Just then, I think we're now 10 minutes. He just met the family. He just met the crew.
Yeah, I'd say he's been in jellyfish fields for 10 minutes.
Sandy and Patrick have set up an elaborate picnic right inside jellyfish fields with some hot, steaming Krabby Patties.
I give him a week. She instantly goes to the Krusty Krab, gets some Krabby Patties, and comes back 10 minutes later.
There is not a chance. If someone, like if you did something stupid like this where I was like really concerned about you, I'll do something along these lines the second day maybe. There's no way if you hand me a condiment and say, hey man, I want you to take care of this. I'm going to live in the nature. First of all, I'm going to say I'll give him 2 days, maybe. And then I'm going to let you brave the outdoors for at least one night before I go and set up an elaborate picnic.
See, I'd be surprised that you wouldn't say 48 hours because it just sounds cooler when you're out in nature.
It does, but here's the thing. 48 hours is too long. Basically, if you're starting halfway through a day, I think you'll make it one night, and then you'll be coming home before the second night.
Okay.
2 days.
So you wouldn't be like Patrick crying, like worried about me?
No. As you were walking off, this is actually what I would say. I'd go, see you soon. See you soon. So Sandy says, there he is, Patrick. Say your line. They have a script. Because Patrick is so traumatized. See,
but this is also Sandy. She was way more concerned about SpongeBob than she initially let off.
Which, once it, she's just kind of dumb, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Patrick does his lines, reads his stage directions as well, such as, take Patty. I sure wish he'd come home.
He can't stop shaking, by the way.
And you know he's struggling. He can't even take a bite of the Krabby Patty.
Yeah.
He's too distressed, and he just yells.
And trust me, that boy eats some Krabby Patties.
Now, this SpongeBob is experiencing, for any kid that ran away, he's experiencing the best part about running away, which is snooping around to see how people are reacting to you being gone. Now, the thing is, when you're a kid and do it, the parents... They always one-upped you. They knew what was going on, so they just kind of went through life as usual. And then that's when the sadness started kicking in. Even though it had been 15 minutes, you're like, they don't even know I'm gone.
15 minutes. Dude, I think the longest I did was like 30, and I thought I was so badass for doing 30 minutes.
Wow, 30 minutes, huh?
Yeah.
They come crawling back to you?
I don't remember. I was hiding under the front porch.
Nice.
And so I kind of just got bored and came back in.
Got bored. I'm like, I could be playing video games right now.
Yeah.
Patrick says, I miss you. Sandy misses you. She looks, God, not looking good, Sandy, this episode. You got to be better than this. She at least has the wherewithal to be like, okay, it's not going to work this time. She starts dragging Patrick away when SpongeBob is like, no, this is my home now. He's doubling down. And then he's dancing with the jellyfish. This is his life, 24/7. This is how he fills his days. Another 10 minutes goes by.
And I love the grass like covering up his private parts.
Yeah.
Even though they're not there.
We don't need to see that, so good thing they're putting that out there for us. Patrick is now at the stage of grieving where he's angry.
Yeah.
Another 10 minutes has gone by, and this is why I didn't like love this episode. Because I just don't like seeing Patrick. He's lost it. He becomes a crazy person this episode.
He does. He does. And this is what I loved about it, though. If SpongeBob is going to act like a jellyfish, he better be prepared to be caught like a jellyfish.
Like, this just shows we never need Patrick to get into a relationship. Because if she breaks up with him, he is going to... He's going to do some crazy shit.
Well, and he's just a monster. You don't want to fight Patrick.
No, because he's got anger management.
Yeah.
It's just buried deep down. And
beneath stupidness.
Yeah, he says, if I can't have you as a friend, I'm going to make you a trophy. Whoa. Oh, my God. That's insane. And then he's mad, and then he starts crying again as he grabs a jar that says SpongeBob Friend. He labeled it already where he's going to keep SpongeBob.
Imagine being this mad at somebody after 20 minutes.
SpongeBob is shaking. He's so scared at what's going on here. And he's gone primal. So the chase begins. SpongeBob hides behind a huge snail. I liked that. I don't know what this prehistoric huge snail is. We don't really see him ever again.
No, we don't.
But I like to see the creatures. SpongeBob hides beneath an archway where Patrick has somehow stuck himself to the top. He knew he was going to be here, but he makes the classic mistake at saying something to show or to reveal where his location is.
Oh, I know. Why would he do that?
So he monologued too much. By the time he gets unstuck, SpongeBob has been able to get away again, where he parkours up into a jellyfish nest. That Patrick, he just can't pull those maneuvers off, and it's too high up. So,
well, I mean, how did Patrick get up on that ledge to begin with?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a situation where he just was able to run up with it. Now, here's the thing, right? He gives up. SpongeBob is watching him from the inside of the nest. I'm hoping that Patrick is not using All Reliable in this scenario because he snaps it in half. That's how mad he is.
Yeah.
He rages against the net.
I don't think he is. He wouldn't do that.
Okay. Some jelly dripping down onto SpongeBob. He starts just absolutely being a glutton. When the jellyfish get home, apparently all 300 of them live in this one nest. And SpongeBob hits him with a line of, "Greetings, comrades."
Greetings, comrades.
He gets stung up, and he obviously got kicked out of there, so now he's just living in the fields without his brethren. I don't know what his goal is at this point. Is he just like, oh, I'll win them over? Or is his mindset, okay, the jellyfish thing isn't going to work, but I still want to be in nature?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know, because if somebody did that, like if I tried to live with the birds,
mm-hmm.
and they all decided to just take shits on me and peck me a bunch of times, I think I would just go back home at that point.
Yeah, you get mad at the birds. You're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to win them over.
Right. With a bunch of shit on my face.
SpongeBob is in a cave. He's now the cold has settled in. You know, the sun went down. Water gets really chilly when it doesn't have that sun heating it up. He's got a little blanket. He tries to sleep, but he falls on a rock, scoots it out, and he gets covered in poison sea urchins.
Ticks.
Okay, we got ticks. Thank God we don't have poison sea urchins
that is true.
Could just find their way onto us. Ugh. When's the last time you had a tick on you?
Not that long ago.
Ticks are a weird thing, man. No, like a mom. First of all, I know ticks are relatively serious for how little they are. But
Very serious.
I still remember as a kid, like, being amazed at how much my parents would freak out over ticks. Because I'd be like, just a little
guy. You don't
want
Lyme's disease or whatever.
I know, but I didn't understand. I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't like lemon or lime. So I don't want a disease based off of it. This is the first night, right?
Yeah, it's the first time.
This is 3 hours later, correct?
So he made it past 11 minutes. I'll give him credit for that.
He did. And now he's basically, he's approaching Bikini Bottom like he has been gone overseas for 9 years.
Yeah.
He came back. His ex-wife has since declared him dead, has remarried, has had two kids.
Oh, dude, that hurts.
That's what he's acting like. It's been 3 hours. He's going around going buzz, buzz, buzz. He walks up to the Krusty Krab.
Why is there so many Krabby Patties on the table?
There are... there are 67 Krabby Patties stacked so neatly
on a table.
On a table in the middle of the restaurant.
The middle of the night.
Did Mr. Krabs go, oh, he'll walk by here and he'll see these guys?
He'll walk by. I don't know.
Because if not, that is a horrible advertising strategy. Like, what if you...
What a waste of Krabby Patties.
What if you were going to a restaurant, you know, you're trying to go to a Wendy's at 11 p.m. They just closed 5 minutes ago. And you look inside, and they've just got 40 junior bacon cheeseburgers just unwrapped sitting on a table to be like, oh, you're coming back tomorrow, though.
Why would Mr. Krabs do that?
But it worked because he just pins his face against the front door and goes, Krabby Patties.
Yeah.
And then he walks by Sandy's tree dome, who he saw even less than three. She was having a picnic just an hour and a half ago. And he goes, Sandy. He gets home. That's the thing. He's crying. He's acting like he can never go back to the life he once lived as he's walking through his front door. He's just going home. Oh, my God. He says, what have I done? I had a great life and friends, and I gave all of that up. He opens the front door where these ludicrous people have set up a welcome home party. Wait.
It's been 7 hours.
That's why I don't have that many friends, probably, because I would never be like, well, Chad ran away a couple hours ago. We need to set up a welcome home party for him.
Oh, so good.
How did they get Squidward here?
He's wearing a hat.
He's
wearing a strap-on hat.
Yes.
I don't know. It's got to be like 12 or 1 a.m. and Squidward's showing up.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Why would they be holding a party where in the background, Chad, there's more Krabby Patties? It's like Mr. Krabs thought about it, and he goes, man, I've kind of missed being on the grill. It's fun. He just made 100 of them, yeah, even though no one was buying. They got a punch bowl out, streamers. It's crazy. Mr. Krabs says, we'll see you tomorrow. He says, aye, aye, Captain. It was that easy. He got his job back. Squidward apparently picked up his pants when he left and gives them back. He throws them on. He's feeling really emotional. We got a group hug. The poison sea urchin itch gets to all of them, and they're kind of doing a weird worm to itch.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
And that is the episode.
Yeah, that one was funnier in a different way than I remembered.
You got to make your own fun out of that one.
Yeah.
When you look at it, you know, from an outside perspective, it's even more ridiculous than a normal SpongeBob episode.
It really is.
We go into Opposite Day, which is clearly the winner this week, right?
I mean, by far. This is a contender for one of the best.
Yeah, it is by far like a classic. Squidward is snoozing. The way he's got the blanket going right now is the best. When you are a little chilly, when you're a little chilly getting in bed, and you got the whole comforter just cocooned around your neck to where just your little face is sticking out, and you're buried deep into a pillow, that is ultimate cozy right now, or right there, and he's just got his big schlong of a nose sticking out.
I'm so excited to do that tonight. You mentioning that, I am really excited to do that.
Will you do that move?
Yeah.
You get that cozied up. I don't see you getting that cozied up. I got to be honest.
Well, I mean, that's because when I'm with you, like, I don't want to get too cozy. You know?
I know, but it's just like picturing you, first of all, because you're a lengthy lad. So also the idea of you having a comforter that's long enough to where you can really pull it up around your chin.
Okay.
And then still have your, like, have it tucked underneath your feet for ultimate coverage. I just don't see you doing it.
It is tough, but sometimes you just got to make the ultimate play.
Okay. So he wakes up, hears some noises, takes off the... Now, I had a birthday a couple days ago, and I am infuriated that I did not wake up, flip up my cover, and you were laying underneath it with a happy birthday streamer.
I would have done it if you wanted me to. Brother.
I do. Next year.
Okay, next
year. Keep that right, in mind. Hey,
be careful what you say, because I will do it.
Can you imagine if you pulled that off?
If I snuck in your covers when you didn't know it?
With a hat, and you just went, happy birthday.
You would be so mad.
Somehow he doesn't kick them out right then and there. They make it to the kitchen for what I can only imagine is a 8 a.m. birthday cake. He's then pinning the tail on the seahorse. Yep. As SpongeBob and Patrick are crying. They got gifts for him, which is actually so sweet.
They've got the most energy I've ever seen two people have this early in the morning.
8 birthday gifts. I would love to know what those things are, because you know Squidward does not want a single one of them. Finally, he has enough. He's just... These guys have beaten him down. They leave. They say, so long, Squidward. Bye-bye. And then Patrick yells, another year older! And the absolute icing on the cake is Squidward yells, it's not my birthday.
I like to think SpongeBob and Patrick are the two biggest trolls of all time, to where they knew it was not his birthday, but they still pulled this off.
I would love to know. If they just had the thought, dude,
oh my God.
What if we just acted like it was, what if we snuck into his bed and from the hours of 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., we just threw him a birthday party? That's the ultimate troll.
That is the ultimate troll. That's how you make life fun, okay? I would legit do that with you. If we wanted to be like, hey, let's just wake Travis up at 8 a.m., be in his covers, and then just absolutely have the biggest birthday bash from 8 to 10.
Why do people not do that?
See, that's what I'm saying. That makes life so much fun. We've got to do that soon to somebody.
God. If people just, you know, paid us more and we could be full-time content creators, we would do that sort of thing. No one is doing that. Like, what if we just went on a, like, Nos. Nos is 6 hours away at college. What if we found a way to sneak into his dorm and just on a Wednesday morning, we had a birthday party from 8 to 10 a.m. and we acted like nothing was around. Even though he'd be so confused, we just act like nothing is
Maybe
gone
we should just do that and video it.
We do it, and then it would be like a 12-hour round trip, and then 14 hours once you include the birthday party, and then it would get 146 views, and I'd be sad and be like, wow, we kind of wasted that Wednesday.
But it was fun.
So, not that you got to do everything for views, but then at the same, I'm not much of a car rider. That's the thing. If you want me to just go do that to Trav a week from now, I'll do it.
No, don't do it then, because that's his actual birthday.
Yeah, his birthday is actually a week from now, so that would be a terrible time to do it.
That would be a terrible time to give him a birthday party is on his birthday.
That would be, he'd be too gassed up, thinking that we really were going all out for him this year. Oh, man. So he goes, all right, final straw. I am moving out of this neighborhood, and he means it. He calls up a real estate agent.
I mean, dude, if somebody throws you a birthday party, wakes you up on a nice, you know, Sunday morning, and decides to do that to you, but for some reason you don't tell them it's not your birthday until they're done with the party, I would be pretty mad too.
Yeah, because you're just, he's too beaten down. He knows that whatever he says right now, he's just going to be talked over, that they just got to get the celebration out of him. I love anytime Squidward talks to another resident of Bikini Bottom who doesn't know him on a first-name basis, because they call him Mr. Tentacles, which just makes me giggle. She's looking at a picture of his house. She goes, wow, what a beautiful property. I can sell your home in a heartbeat. He wants to get out of here as soon as possible.
It is a nice picture.
Yeah. She says, as long as, you know, nothing weird's going on over there. As long as you don't have any crazy neighbors.
See, it reminds me of that Step Brothers episode where they... Episode? Step Brothers film where they're like, they don't want the house to sell, so they
dress up. Careful, you just gave Netflix an idea.
So they, yeah, true. So they dress up in like the KKK suit and they're like, howdy neighbor.
Yeah.
So they don't.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's actually really.
You could do that, dude. You
really
could. You could
do that sort of thing.
Because who can stop you from doing what you want on your property, you know?
No one.
What was the other thing? He's a blind guy that has like a Nazi suit on. I can't remember exactly what it's. I mean, it's genius. It's
what
genius.
Would you do? Someone was trying to move in next to you. You didn't want them to. What would you be doing?
So you can't like defecate in the front yard or anything like that.
Yeah, you can't do anything illegal that'll get you in trouble, but it's got to be something like where you're completely legal, but someone sees it and goes, oh my God.
I bring a drum set out at 9 a.m., whatever the curfew in the morning is to where it's legal to be loud.
Okay.
And just start banging on the drums and like, this is where I practice. I just go, this is where I practice my drums.
All right, just start. I'm going to just be walking 20 dogs.
Yes.
20 huge dogs.
Yes.
That I rent. And here's the thing. I've got them on the longest leashes known to man. They all have like 40 feet of leeway.
And they bark a lot.
Oh my God. They're all going crazy. And I'm just like, howdy neighbor. You're moving in.
It's nice to have you.
You'd be like, I'll introduce you to the team later.
Yeah.
That would Hell be. Yeah. Yeah. That could do it. So Squidward's like, oh my God, they're going to ruin this for me. They are the opposite of a good neighbor. And he kind of gets an idea. He goes, oh, opposite. And so it's at this point.
This leads to, by the way, Squidward could have said nothing to him, and the outcome would have been 1,000 times better than what happens in this episode, I believe.
I'm not so sure.
Wait, hold on. I think so, dude.
I'm not like, what do you think happens when they see like a
I think what ends up happening is the worst possible outcome that could have possibly happened.
It is. I mean, I won't argue too hard because yeah, SpongeBob destroys his house and then somehow worms his way into being the Squidward showing the house. That's pretty bad. But I still think if Squidward gets company of any kind, I feel like Patrick and SpongeBob are nosing their way into it somehow. Just like think about all the things that they've done.
Like Squidward couldn't have a girlfriend. There's just no way.
No. For more than one reason. One of them being that I think he might be gay.
Yeah. And that giant nose.
So, okay, here's what I was going to say. Opposite day. That's not a thing, right? I remember thinking as a kid, opposite day was a real thing.
Yeah. I thought it was like April Fool's.
I'm looking it up. When is opposite day? Okay. Now, it says it's celebrated on January 25th every year. Now, what I need to know is, when was opposite day created? Did they start it? The concept of opposite day is thought to have originated in playground games and silly children's humor during the late 19th century. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe.
A little too far back.
Yeah, maybe the book Kids Stuff in 1894 had it before Squidward. Yeah. All right. It was a nice thought, though. So Squidward the next morning wakes SpongeBob up by playing the drums and bagpipes. And
I can't believe he even has the energy to do what he's doing.
Well, it's because he amped himself up.
Yeah. Snorted something?
This is his ticket out.
Okay.
It's like, you know, if you're looking forward to doing something or getting something done, you'll wake up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just got to get in the right mindset. He's got his wig and the drum set. SpongeBob's concerned. He's like, okay, we got to get some bed rest going.
Yeah, we've got to get you some bed rest.
Because Squidward says, tackle me! And this is when Squidward introduces opposite day of the year. You just do the complete opposite of what you normally do. He even says, normally I'm stuffy and boring, but today I'm silly and spontaneous. That's good that he's got the self-awareness to be like, hey, I kind of suck, but like, will these guys just let me suck by myself?
He just wants to suck alone.
Yep.
No homo.
So SpongeBob starts to get the idea and goes, okay, all right. Normally I would just be loud and all that business. Today, I'm going to just be quiet. I'm not going to do anything. As a matter of fact, I'm not ready.
Yep. And I love how he kind of overthinks it at first, though.
Yeah.
You always overthink opposite day. You don't have to go yeah, there.
That's the thing about opposite day.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
It is very confusing because are you doing the opposite of literally everything, which then in itself turns into right. the same thing you're doing because it's the opposite of what you would be doing on opposite day?
Mm-hmm. That's why when you know your kids at elementary school in third grade and you and your friends decide to have an opposite day, you start getting mad at each other because you'll be like, no, I'm not going to go down the slide today. And then your friend Mac says something like, well, if you're not going to go down the slide, why don't you go down the slide?
Yep, yep. And they get you so hard.
You're an endless loop of opposites. And then before you know it, you're going down a slide. And Max going, ha ha, made you go down the slide. Yep. I win opposite day. And then you go, no, you don't.
No, you don't, because you wouldn't have said that not on opposite day.
And then your parents get a call because you and Mac have been fighting a little bit too much. So Squidward makes a brutal mistake. Like, SpongeBob runs into his house. This has been going on for 30 seconds. The woman's not even here yet, but Squidward's just writing this off as a success. I was like, all right, so long, chum. He hasn't even tried with Patrick yet.
I mean, it almost works because SpongeBob's just going to go to sleep.
SpongeBob tries to introduce opposite day to Gary. He starts telling him about it. He goes, I'm going to wait, walk, don't run. And this is where he's doing it. He's thinking too much opposite. I'm just going to crawl in bed and do nothing all day.
Yep.
And just then the doorbell rings. Who is it but Patrick, who...
But he can't get excited for a guest, though. No. He starts to get excited, but he can't.
And this is kind of like when SpongeBob's being mean to Patrick, this is his go-to. He says, I never want to see you again.
Yeah. It really is.
That's happened before. I feel like it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick, as we know from the episode before, is very emotionally unstable and relies heavily on SpongeBob's friendship. So he starts sobbing until he's brought into the fold. He goes, no.
Don't give him another 10 minutes because then he'll get pissed.
Yes. He goes, it's opposite day. And Patrick says, hey, I've heard of that. He's already starting because SpongeBob says, yeah. Really? He goes, no, what is it?
I love Patrick.
So they're breaking it down. SpongeBob, or Patrick's really, he's trying to go for the best opposite day player ever because he stops breathing.
Dude, that is just, you can't overthink it as much as this right here.
Yeah.
This is the most profound player of opposite day of all time.
But that's what happened in school.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, well, you're breathing, so you're not doing mm-hmm. it right. Or they'd be like, oh, you're doing the assignment. Stop doing the assignment. And then Danielle would yell, Mrs. Archer, Ronnie's not doing the assignment. I'd get in trouble again. I was getting in a lot of trouble in elementary school.
And then they would say something, you go, sorry, teacher, not doing it today or something.
Yeah. You start standing up to the teacher if you're a really good player. Patrick does take a breath. He tried to go for it, but he's not that opposite. That's hardcore. And we start opposite day montaging. Okay, we're being Gary. We're eating out of the food bowl. They're blowing bubbles.
Patrick's peeing on the newspaper.
They're trying to blow bubbles, except they become the bubbles.
Yep.
What else we get? They're speaking gibberish, which I don't really understand how that's opposite.
Well, I mean, because instead of a fully formed language, you're just speaking gibberish. Okay.
Sorry, that one went over my head. SpongeBob then gets a crazy idea. He says, say, want to help me do some work around the house? As if he's, like, constantly making home improvements. What? Oh, God.
You cannot see Squidward messed up introducing a game like this to these two guys.
He did it too early.
He did way too early.
Wait, he did it first thing in the morning. He says, it's nearly noon and I haven't heard from SpongeBob all day. If she wasn't going to be there until after lunchtime, tell them 5 minutes before while they're still going through the initial phases. They've settled into the game now. He's all packed up, laughing at how much of a genius he is. And he hears a noise where SpongeBob and Patrick have absolutely decimated the pineapple.
It's a good play.
It looks like the most cracked out white trash home you've ever seen. Couches in the front yard. SpongeBob says, "Hello, Squidward." He goes, "Oh, I mean, goodbye, Squidward."
You know, as soon as you hear that, you're just like, "What have I done?
Is it opposite day terrible?" And he just starts cracking up. Oh, God. Squidward loses his cool. He says, "I'll tell you what's terrible. Living next to you." Where SpongeBob says, "You got it?"
That is the nicest thing he's ever said. So awesome, too. I mean, that's like getting in your car if you took opposite day that serious and being like, "I'm going to crash into every vehicle that I see. I'm going to drive on the opposite side of the road today."
Honestly, I can't believe they're still allowing opposite day. They should make it illegal because it's probably so dangerous. Squidward starts panicking because he sees the mess that is SpongeBob's house, knowing that the real estate agent will be there soon. So he just goes to his garage, I guess.
Where does he get this machine?
He gets a bulldozer.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be expensive.
He puts up the quickest and trickiest foundation for a home I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it tricks SpongeBob so much when he's doing this.
In three hammers, he's got curved wooden beams making the structure of this house. He's already put it in the window. It's really fine craftsmanship. And SpongeBob's trying to figure this out. He goes, "Okay, I messed up my house. Now SpongeBob or Squidward's fixing it. By messing it up, I means that I have to do this." Basically, he goes on a rampage. Patrick's face.
This is how I feel. It's just Patrick's face right here. When somebody like tries to go so deep in, like, okay, I'll give you an example. Sometimes you get really drunk with people and they just go on like a rant of, I mean, it could be literally about anything. They just go on a very passionate, deep rant.
Yeah.
And it's 1 a.m. and you're ready to go to sleep. That is my face to that person.
Oh, my God. Patrick is absolutely zoned out. A little bit of drool is coming down the mouth. And SpongeBob figures it out, though. He says, which means Squidward's being the opposite of Squidward, which means he's SpongeBob.
Which he's not wrong. SpongeBob would have done something like that.
Yeah. He goes, I understand everything now. As we see him, he's completely tangled up in his hands that have been keeping track of all these opposites. I must be the opposite of SpongeBob by being Squidward.
Squidward.
So he takes his belt. It really does a great Squidward. He's done this before.
100%.
Because he tightens it up, makes him with a big head. He's got the nose. Patrick has snapped out of whatever brain-dead funk he was in. SpongeBob gives him a nose, too, which is just some sort of like wet sea thing that's kind of gross.
I'm Squidward. I'm Squidward. I'm Squidward, Squidward, Squidward.
Patrick's also really thought this through. SpongeBob's like, no, you gotta act like him. Boy, oh boy, do I like playing the clarinet, but I practice all day long, never get better.
I mean, dude, he is just clowning Squidward.
Their understanding for Squidward is so much deeper.
That's why I think that was a fake birthday party they threw on purpose.
It's insane.
Yeah.
He throws it back to Patrick, being like, all right, now that I gave you an example, I'm sure you got something else in the bag.
I'm Squidward. I'm Squidward. I'm Squidward, Squidward, Squidward.
They go to the house and say, after you, Mr. Squidward. Why, thank you, Mr. Squidward. Just then.
All this time, Squidward is still building the pineapple.
He is hammering furiously away at the pineapple. The real estate agent pulls up. She is amazed at this house, thinks this is going to be the easiest sell I've ever had. I mean, think about it.
In for our a bikini housing, bottom house.
In our housing market now, there's no way this house goes for anything less than $750,000. Yeah. I don't care if Patrick and SpongeBob are living next door.
Right.
She walks in, or she walks up, knocks, answers the door. No, or who answers the door? No one other than Mr. Squidward.
Mr.
SpongeBob version. She says, "It's funny, I pictured you being taller," which is just kind of like a funny line to put out there to begin with, because she nailed it. And also, I have to laugh at all the self-portraits they're walking by of Squidward. SpongeBob says, "Yeah, everyone says that."
Which really means that no one says that, if we think about it.
She says, "Tell me all the positive things about your house." And he goes, oh, positive. Yeah, opposite day. "I'd love to. The floor creaks, the roof leaks. There's a terrible draft." Which, has that ever been the idea, that there's a terrible draft in your home?
That's an amazing line. I've got to just start using that. It's an underrated SpongeBob line. "There's a terrible draft."
She starts to panic, and he goes, "Please let me finish. The winters are hard. The summers are brutal." It's like, now he's just explaining things that could be so simply figured out with just an AC unit,
yeah,
and a heater. And then he goes, "There's a wild man-eating clam in the backyard." Now, the part where I go, these guys are geniuses. Do they see this woman pull up? And they go, "We are going to brain fuck her." And they go, "Patrick, you go hide behind a Squidward portrait in his gallery. I will do the first half of the tour, and then we introduce you right near the end."
See, that's, I really think they truly purposefully do stuff like this.
I feel like they have like Squidward's house tapped.
Yeah, it's,
like,
it's just never admitted.
He walks up, he goes, "Here's the worst room in the house, my gallery," as we see a farmer man Squidward painted on the painted on the canvas, where a Patrick jumps out and says, "Well, thank you," because she's complimented the painting.
Yeah, just destroys the painting, by the way.
SpongeBob says, "I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Squidward." "Because I'm Squidward, he's Squidward, we're both Squidward."
Why does Squidward put on a hat when he's doing that construction?
Well, you know, just to let him know that you're doing something, I guess. He starts climbing down a ladder with a bucket of paint. He's finished putting on a paint job. Because at least SpongeBob's been quiet, where he turns around, sees that she has already arrived. And
that's got to be the worst feeling ever. Knowing that SpongeBob is in your house.
Especially when he walks into.
Yeah.
Because she's sitting in a chair surrounded by SpongeBob and Patrick, who are standing entirely too close. As SpongeBob plays the clarinet, she goes, "I really don't want to hear another one." He goes, "Okay."
Hearing you loud and clear.
The loud and clear line is so good. She's like, "I really don't want to hear more." And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, I hear you loud and clear." Nails it again. And then Squidward runs in, panics, where we get one of the best reveals ever, because he's apologizing. "I'm so sorry, ma'am." And she goes, "Who the heck are you?" And he says, "Well, I'm Squidward."
That has got to be, I mean, it could not be any worse for this lady. I would be so freaked out. Like, thinking these are serial killers or something?
Oh, yeah. You'd have to get out of there so quick. She's also being like, "Well, what a waste of a day. These guys have just made me."
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "What an elaborate ruse. Who just pranks real estate people like this to where they just... Who's got that kind of time?"
And then he's ruined it. Well, I say he. Both of the other Squidwards have ruined it for Squidward, because this realtor is going to go tell everyone, do not go to this place.
Oh, yeah. Well, not to mention, here's the other thing, too. Squidward walks in, was the nicest I've ever seen him to this lady. SpongeBob and Patrick are the ones tormenting her, but yet he's really going to get the finger wagging and the yelling in the face. just because he was the last guy to show up.
Well, I mean, it was opposite day, so they're actually being nice to her.
Yeah. And she said, are there any other Squidwards I need to know about as we pan over to Gary, who meows with a cucumber in his between his eyes? And she's out. She said, I wouldn't sell your house if you were the last Squidward on Earth, which is a good line for her. And so it's all over. Squidward's laying on the ground. SpongeBob and Patrick say, happy opposite day, Squidward.
Yeah.
We hate you.
I mean, they've got to feel like that was the best opposite day ever. When something like that happens, you're like, that. There couldn't be a better opposite day.
Do they even do it again next year? Because you can't nail it any more than you did this year.
You really don't.
He says, let me show you how much I hate you, as he fires up his bulldozer again that he's really just got hanging around, I guess. I don't actually know if it's a bulldozer because it doesn't have the crane arm, but it's just good for pushing stuff around.
A push-dozer.
And that is the end of the episode.
End of
opposite day. A great one. But Chad, oh Chad, I've just revealed the next episode for us.
What is it?
Do you really not know?
I'm
always skeptical that you know.
I seriously do not know. Any week I do not know.
Here's what I'm excited for. First, I'm going to tell you the second episode because it's obvious what it is. Okay. It's fun. F-U-N.
Okay,
great one. Very excited for that one. I'm going to tell you the first name of the episode, and I'm curious to know if you know off the name what the episode is.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. If you had asked me what the name of this episode was, I would not have guessed this title. Okay?
Okay.
It is entitled Culture Shock.
I feel like I do know which one it is.
This is according to Amazon Prime, by the way. I almost can't believe that this is the name of the episode, because usually they're so self-explanatory.
Shit, what I do know this one because I've had this same thought before. Give me the explanation.
Your mind's going to be blown because I bet you're not close to what you think it is.
Give me the explanation.
Let me make sure here. Yeah. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you what it should be named.
Okay.
Talent Show.
I knew it was something weird because I do remember that title being like, that doesn't make any sense.
I would have just assumed.
But it should be named Talent Show.
Should just be Talent Show.
Yeah.
And that one.
Oh, yeah.
That one might take the cake for the line we use the most.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, there's a few up there that are all challenging for the top spot. But I know that I go back to this one quite often, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because that's for next week. If you're listening on the free feed, you want it right now, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Ronnie and Chad. We're 3 episodes ahead over there, and you can jump into it right now.
Check it out.
Until then, we'll talk with you real soon. I've been Ronnie.
I've been Chatty.
Peace.
Peace.